Hope is really tied to a couple different areas for you and for me. My hope is that God is really going to do some work in our midst. He's going to grow us. He's going to change us. He's going to work his work of transformation in you and me, in our relationships, firstly. And how we walk with him, he's going to change some things. He's going to transform us in our relationships, in our family. That God's going to make us better friends. He's going to transform old patterns. Some real change is going to take place. He's going to transform us so that we're better dads. We're better moms. We're better husbands and wives. We're better kids. We're better friends. Not only with ones that we know close, but friends we've not yet met. Friends maybe even around the world. He's going to transform us in our relationships. I have hope of that. This hope came to me in a particular way. I'm still old school. I have paper day timer that I still use. I'm still holding out for that. And that paper still has a place somehow or another. But anyway, I put my new day timer in this past year, and all of a sudden I began to think about 2014 because I saw that these months are going to pass and 2014 is going to be here before we know it. And I began to think that God's going to work in our relationships. He's going to transform us. I have hope of that. The other area that I have hope in strongly is that God is going to help you and me. He's going to help our children. He's going to help our friends. He's going to help us weather the storms of 2013. Because I look back on 2012 and I remembered storms. 2012 wasn't an easy year. We each have stories of storms in 2012. 2013 is going to be no different. We just don't know, perhaps, what those storms are. But we do know storms are going to come. And I'm confident and I have hope that God's going to work in us so that we'll weather those storms better this year. The last area that I have hope in is that God's going to sow some seeds of our legacy. Your legacy. I began to think of grandchildren. I don't have grandchildren yet, but the point is, I began to think of that next generation. And I began to think that and have hope that what God's going to do in our midst, what he's going to begin over the course of this time today and over the course of this year, is our legacy is going to be strengthened. We're going to sow seeds so that the generations that follow, whatever that generation is, if it's still a couple years out, or if we have grandchildren, whatever the case is, our legacy is going to be strengthened because of what God's called us to focus on. And that's why I have hope. Because I believe that God is calling us to have a particular focus for this coming year. And that focus is going to produce his work. My hope is not in me. I've not gone to a seminar recently. I've not read another book. And all of a sudden I feel this sense of, you guys just have a better pastor, so this is going to be a better church this year. No. I hope that some of that's true. My hope is not in me. My hope is in our God and his word. And the particularities of how he's going to focus us this year, I have hope that there's going to be some real significant change. We're looking at Colossians 1 this morning, kind of taking a little section out of Colossians 1, verse 28 down through chapter 2 and verse 10. It's just a few verses. It's part of the story. It's part of the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the followers of Christ in the city of Colossae. And embedded in these verses is the reason for our hope, the reason for my hope. The context is important. Colossae was a city that was dealing with a lot of error. There were messages in the people's minds and their heads. They're not exactly sure what the Colossae heresy actually looked like. There were elements of that. But you'll see elements of that even as Paul speaks to these people. But in the midst of that error, he knows that he must lift up Jesus. And so Jesus Christ is preeminent in the book of Colossae from beginning to end because he alone helps us discern the deceptions and the lies and the false messages of our day and our culture and our hearts. So listen to what Paul speaks of in chapter 1, verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, Christ. Paul says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea, for all those who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on man's tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. You see, because it's in Him all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. The focus that God is calling us to over the course of this year is, what does it mean to be rooted in Jesus Christ? What does it mean when Paul says, just as you've received Jesus and are rooted in Him and built up in Him, so walk? What does that mean? We're actually going to spend a year thinking and meditating on that. The amazing thing about this participle, rooted and built up in Him, is this. When people like Paul wrote the scriptures, the reality is that the Spirit of God was moving in and through their personalities, who they were, their minds, what they understood. And He was moving not in a robotic fashion, not in a mechanical fashion, but He was moving so that they wrote particular words, particular participles. And the fascinating thing about this rooted in Christ is when Paul wrote that, he wanted us to understand in the language that he was writing that being rooted in Christ is something that's already done. It's there. It's completed in many senses. But that completed work of God, when we say yes to Jesus, lives itself out over the course of our days and over our decisions. So he says, when we've been rooted in Christ, that's a done deal. If you said yes to Jesus, there's a settledness about that. It's not you're in Christ one day and then you wonder if you're in Christ the next because you just messed up the night before. No. If you said yes to Jesus, Paul is using a particular way of writing in the Greek language to say that that's a settled deal. Your roots are in Christ. There's no changing that. He says later to the followers of Christ in Philippi, he who began a good work in you by saying yes to Jesus will bring it to completion in Christ. If he began it, he will complete it. Settled, rooted in Christ. Our two daughters are going to have two separate experiences growing up. They already have. Karis understands her background, where she came from. She understands that there's a biological relation between her and me and Cindy. Anna's not going to have that. Our daughter Anna is from China. Our daughter Anna, at one point, in some point of her day, is more than likely going to begin to think about her background. She's going to wonder about her mother. She's going to wonder about her father, biologically. Who knows what's going to go on in the heart of Anna in the years ahead? I don't know that. But what Cindy and I and Karis are committed to is for Anna to understand it doesn't matter. She's settled. Her roots are settled. And we pray, I'm praying, that Anna then lives from a position of security, not insecurity. And that there's a confidence in Anna, that every day that she lives, there's a security. Hopefully our human relationships will help bridge that understanding to what it means to be in Christ in Anna. That Anna's in Christ. And that's the basis from which I want and I long for us to continue to know that we are living from a position of security in Jesus, not dependent on our performance, our ups and downs. So we're going to focus on that. The how is embedded in here. We're going to run through that quickly. But let me tell you a quick synopsis of the story. I love to think about how God moves. So in particular times, in particular ways, I don't think it's any mistake that we're focusing on that, this focus this year, what it means to be rooted in Christ and how to live that out every day. I think it started 17 years ago when one of the people that God called to begin to form this new body called Christ Community Church, a man named Kirk Woodyard. Yeah, I know his name. He's a dear friend. Kirk Woodyard. Kirk and Ann travel quite a bit, but they have been immense in our life together over the years. 17 years ago, the Lord brought Isaiah 61 to Kirk's mind. Listen to... as Isaiah looked forward, the prophet Isaiah looked forward, and he's thinking about the impact of Jesus the Messiah, the impact that the Messiah is going to have through his people. Listen how he describes this impact. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. I think God was behind Kirk's mind, in Kirk's thinking, when Kirk thought of this passage related to what God was doing in Christ's community and will do in and through Christ Community Church over the years, that we are an oak of His righteousness, a planting of His for the display of His splendor. That's where it got started. Over the course of this past year, God moved in the leadership here and the council to think about a different logo. So, and in the design of that logo, I think God was in that design. The person that designed the logo did not know, Kirk did not know what God had done in him 17 years ago. But what God did, and the one who designed our logo, you see the image on your bulletin. It's the image of Christ being a tree, being rooted in Christ, and we are flowing from that life, the life of those roots in Him. But then over the course of this past year, Cindy was floating around a bookstore. She saw something, and all of a sudden, I think God sparked something, gave her something of a framework, a structure. It's almost like when plants begin to grow, a structure is a good thing. Tomato cage, it's a good thing. And God has moved in a man, James Bryan Smith. God let him be a part around some people that really are thinking about this, and He's combined this together. So we're going to take advantage of some of that what God's doing in and through him, and you'll hear about that in a second. But then just recently, Cindy and I got some time in May, and we were down in Williamsburg, and at the new big, is it the Pottery? Is that what it's called? The Williamsburg Pottery, something like that. All these stores, and I saw this sign, and the sign just simply said one of these little, "Our roots go deep." And I remember the moment I saw that, and I stopped. And I see God putting this whole thing together. And he's going to work in us in a fresh way, in a new way this year, so that we understand how these roots that already are existing in Christ will grow and deepen and strengthen. So how is he going to do this? First of all, I think he's going to do it through fresh attention to disciplines, to patterns, to habits of our life. We saw this in Paul when he looked at, when he was thinking about the folks in Colossae. I'll get back there. He was delighted to see how disciplined they were. Paul was delighted to see the patterns of their life, their habits. And so we're going to take a look. We're going to focus regularly and think about the patterns of our lives. Those habits that we have. What are those things that we just do over and over again that really shape us? We're going to take a look at those. And not just the ones that everybody sees. We're going to take a look below the waterline. Those parts of our lives, those habits that nobody sees except God perhaps. But they sure shape us. Those thought patterns, those emotional patterns that go over and over and over in our minds and really determine how we respond to people, how we respond to our spouses, to our friends, how we live our lives. Those emotional patterns shape us. And those disciplines, those patterns, we're going to look at those this year. Almost every single week, we're going to give another thought to what are the patterns that we're developing and praying that God develops in our life. The second focus is going to be on doing this with friends. We're not going to do this together. There's going to be a renewed sense. There's going to be a fresh emphasis on walking together as friends in this. Because what God is going to do in our lives, for our habits and our disciplines and our patterns, is not something that you and I can pull off on our own. We need friends to do that. Listen to this in Colossians 2. Paul says that his goal is that those followers of Christ would be encouraged. You want that, right? As something good. Encouraged in heart and united in love. That phrase is a rich phrase. Paul says, I'm praying that your hearts are knitted together. Is the emotional impact of that united in love. It's not just being in the same room, facing the same direction. No, what Paul's speaking about here is hearts. Your heart, my heart, hearts together are knitted together. So that we may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Try to understand this connection. We will not fully understand who Christ is and that he is in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We will not know all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge if we are not having our hearts knit together. There's a connection here, an unmistakable connection. It's an essential connection. You and I will not know the fullness and riches of who Christ is unless our hearts are knit together. That's what Paul's saying. There's an essential connection here. So to the degree that we stay separate and walk with a separateness in our relationships, without an intentionality of being together and getting connected, and we do not know the riches and the glory and the wisdom of Christ. There's a correlation. And I would venture to say that if your life or my life is too full and too busy, and that we do not have time to make connections happen, I would venture to say that we are being deceived. And that we are thinking that we're doing a lot of really good, important things, but if we are not having our hearts knit together, we're deceived. Things that we are calling good in our schedule, that are keeping us from being knit together and having time with one another, Paul says we're being deceived. So we're going to give fresh attention, fresh challenge to one another, being together. It doesn't mean you have to, everybody has to be in a home group. That's the connection that we're, that's one. It could be one-on-one. It could be two or three. It could be a home group. It could be the youth ministry. Whatever it is, it could take a variety of forms. But God's calling us to give fresh attention to having our hearts knit together so that we can understand what it means that our roots are in Christ. The last thing, very particular. I don't remember focusing like this, but we're going to give a particular attention this year to being alert to deceptions. To be alert to the false messages that are coming through media, through our culture, just through the air that we breathe, that it's very important that we have a discernment, a sensitivity to what's not true, that we may be buying into, structuring our lives around. All the while, it's not true. It's a falseness. There's a deception there. That's why Paul says, I tell you so this, that no one can deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Some of the error in our lives sound really good. We might buy into that. He's strong on that. Jesus says, there are people that follow me, and that's a soil in their life. And he says this, that we have to watch. Here it is. That we don't get into the busyness of life and be distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. So we're going to keep an eye on that this coming year. Those three areas. Attention to patterns, doing this with friends, and alert to deceptions. My commitment is found back in Colossians. I was struck when I read this. I've been poring over this. Paul says, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I'm being more and more aware, constantly aware, of the lack of physical energy. I need more sleep. One of the realities of doing my daytimer is this past December, I wrote 56 on December 14th. One of the things I did, I wrote 57 on December 14th, 2013. And you know what my mind went to after 57? Comes 58. And after 58 comes 59. 60 is around the corner. And I'm feeling that physically. But God put it in my heart that I'm trusting Him for a renewed sense of energy, spiritually and physically, to see Him do this in our midst this coming year. I really do have hope that there's a unique focus He's calling us to. If this seems a lot and I haven't communicated it real well, or don't worry. You're going to hear these themes most every week in a variety of ways and a variety of forms. You're going to hear this and God's going to work this in us. There's some fertilizer that's out there that is real helpful. It's what I spoke about, this structure that God has worked through this man, James Brian Smith. Brian Musselman has the images of these books. I encourage you to go online, get one. There's three of them. There's a three-part. You can get them electronically. You can get them used. It doesn't need to cost a lot of money. But in these books are some real helpful supplements, fertilizer to what God's going to be doing in our midst over the course of this time. Somebody once said, I heard this a long time ago, the best time to plant an oak tree is when? 40 years ago. That's when you wanted to be planting oak trees, 40 years ago. Second best time to plant an oak tree is when? Today. Today. I'm really looking forward to planting some oak trees that are strong in Jesus, that help us weather, that can weather storms, that have a legacy and impact that outlives our generation, that outlives your life. Because that's what patterns, that's what habits do. They shape legacies. We're going to focus on that. All the while relying on the Holy Spirit. None of this is possible apart from God's power, His grace, and His Spirit. That's the engine. That's the purpose. That's the power. Let's pray. Father, at the beginning here of 2013, we thank you that you were faithful through 2012. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, because of that, we can have hope as we anticipate 2013. You will be faithful. You will work. You will grow our roots even deeper and stronger in Christ. So Father, I pray right from the beginning that you would give us an ability, a willingness to say, okay, God, my habits, my patterns, my disciplines, they're yours. Shape them, form them, strengthen them. And Father, I pray that you would work in our schedules and our priorities, and that time with one another in whatever form that may take is top tier. It's one of the big rocks we put in. It's not something that we fit in if we have time. Father, please help us have wisdom in our schedules. And Father, please help us have a developed alertness to the deceptions and the false messages that are there, and that we would know the true message of Jesus and the truth of what he communicates to us and through us. And Father, we ask this, and we give you this year in the name of Jesus and for your honor and glory. Amen. Toby, where would the meeting for Guatemala? Right here. Okay, if you're interested in that meeting about Guatemala, you can just hang around right here. Have a wonderful afternoon. Bless you. It'll be really short. Yes, be really short.
Send me a sign, a hint, a whisper. Throw me a line, 'cause I am listening. Come break the quiet. Breathe your awakening. Rush of angels wings, shine your light so I can see you. Pull me up, I need to be near you. Hold me, I need to feel love. Can you overcome this high that's overcome? You set aside the hint, a whisper. Human divine, heaven is listening. Death laid love quiet.
its offering I do drink. Of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.
Sweetly broken.